As we lift our hearts in worship, we bring the sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Lord, you've taught us in your word to give thanks in everything. You'll provide a place of refuge beneath the shadow of your wings. So we purpose to obey you, and we walk in all your ways. For in every situation, we'll bring a sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. We offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
I love to sing the scripture songs, don't you? They're my absolute favorite. In the Gospel of John, and thinking about our service today, and I thought the Lord might have me speaking along the lines of what happened in the days immediately following Easter, the resurrection. And I noticed there that every time Jesus encountered, not every time, but the first several times that he encountered his disciples after the resurrection, the first thing he said to them was, and he said the same thing, he said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." And if you remember the letters of Paul, almost all of his letters start with a reference to peace. Generally, he says grace and peace, but always peace be unto you. And isn't that what we need? We live here in a world that threatens our peace and wants to take our peace away. And the way we have peace is by not playing that game of fretfulness and panic and fear and worry and anxiety. How are we going to do this? And how are we going to meet that bill? And how are we going to take care of this situation? And how are we going to deal with that individual? And so on. Jesus said, "Peace. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be taken care of." Psalm 25. I have something a little different for you this morning. And I'm going to give you a benefit that I didn't have when the Lord was giving me this. When I sat down to actually begin to think about this morning's service, sometimes he will just bring me something as I'm reading, or something as I'm reading in the Word. Sometimes I'm reading somewhere else, or just at various times he'll just drop into my spirit, this is for Sunday. But at other times when I do not have that occur during the week, there comes a point at which I sit down and say, okay, what are we going to do Sunday morning? What is the message particularly for Sunday morning? Well, for this Sunday, I didn't do that. I mean, I did sit down, but I didn't do what I should do, and that is ask the question, what are we doing on Sunday? Because I thought I had maybe a hint, and so I began to follow that track, and it just, you know, it was just a dead track. There just was no scent on it at all. And so I thought, well, I had another thought earlier in the week, and I followed that track a while, and I followed that track, and there just wasn't any scent on that track either. You know what I mean by scent. And so after a bit, I was a little frustrated because, you know, nothing was coming. And then it dawned on me, duh, why don't you ask? Now, you don't want to laugh at me because I know you've been there too. And I did just do that. I said, dunderhead, I'm sorry, Lord, I should have just asked you in the first place. And I said, what do you have for us on Sunday? Is Psalm 25, just like that, Psalm 25. I hardly had it out of my mouth. What is the song, thinking of the words of the song, and if I could get the words, you know the song. What is it? Thank you very much. How we often forfeit, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate your help. And isn't that the case? I mean, he's always there. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door be opened unto you. But we live such a long time not depending on ourselves and on others and not on Him, that sometimes, even though we should have learned by now, we forget, and I forget. So he said Psalm 25. So I go to Psalm 25 and I start reading it. In fact, when I started reading it, I couldn't get out of verse 1, because here's the way I read it. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul unto Thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. I couldn't get past that. I'd just sing it. So I read the third verse. Yea, let none that wait. And of course, the chorus is the second verse. And so you sing a verse, you go back up and sing the chorus again. I couldn't get through this song. And it just, I mean, the music in it and the song, it just kept coming. And so I sang it all the way down to verse 7. And I had a good time, you know, just me and the Lord. And then just some personal time with the Lord, and just communing with Him and singing His Word and so on. And then I begin to read then from verse 8 on down through the rest of it. I get to the end of it and I say, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to see in here? Nothing. I mean, it's all wonderful, but I'm looking for something around which
I can build a message. I'm looking for something, some revelation that will bring forth a teaching. And there just wasn't anything like that. As well, I guess I missed it. I'll go back and read it again. And so I read it again, and you know, it's a wonderful psalm and beautiful, as all of them are, but there just wasn't anything that, quote, rang my bell. And like a fool, I said, well, I guess maybe that isn't where the message is. And so I went back and chased my other tracks. This is true confession. And I still couldn't rustle up a cent on either of those tracks. And so I finally just got to the point, well, okay, I know you told me Psalm 25, and there isn't anything in there that I can really get my hands around, get my mind around, that I could build a message out of. But I said, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll do. He could have said, thank you very much, but he didn't. But I had the thought that could the Lord be just simply testing my obedience? No, I don't know. He didn't say he was. I just had the thought that, because he's done that before, asked me to do something that made no sense just to see if I would be obedient. So I decided, all right, that's it. Psalm 25, that's it. That's the way we'll go. So this morning when I came into the office, and I had a few minutes in the office before I came downstairs at 9 o'clock for our praise team practice and so on prior to the Bible study this morning. And I opened my Bible again to Psalm 25 to see if there might be something more there that he'd want to show me this morning. And this is what he said. He showed me there wasn't anything more than there was before. But he said three things. He said, I want to exalt my word, not my preacher. I can count, son. He said, I want to exalt my word, not my preacher. Now that, I mean... That hits. Then he said, the power is in the word itself, not in clever expressions of revelation. The power is in the word itself, not in clever expressions of revelation. Sometimes I think we are fascinated by the teaching rather than by the word itself. I think this is what he's trying to show me. That we are more impressed with the delivery or the technique or the way it comes together or the revelation itself. And we lose our understanding that there's power in the word whether or not we have revelation of it. In other words, what we're going to do today, I'm just going to read this. I don't know whether anything else will come, and maybe it will, but I'm just going to read it. And if that's all there is, that's all there is. But you're going to get the benefit of understanding why I'm doing that before we do it, rather than having to do it and do it and do it, and then finally getting the understanding later. There's power in the Word of God, whether or not you understand it. We have children in the service that are not going to understand everything that we're reading today. We have adults that won't understand everything we're reading totally. But the power that is in this word still ministers to this part of us, the spirit man. This is one of the reasons why we like to have the children in the services. Because there's power in the Word to make a difference in their lives, even though they don't understand it. You say, well, Pastor Vic,
My child is just here with one of the pencils that he pulled out of the pew rack, and he's scribbling things all over the bulletin, and he's not listening. Well, when you go home today, you turn on your TV and you watch your child laying on the floor coloring, and then tomorrow you hear her singing the commercial that she heard. She didn't hear it. She didn't understand. Of course she did. It went right down in her little spirit, and then out of the heart, the abundance of the mouth begins to speak. This is why Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you allow to come in. And it's not how we put the things together, it's the word itself. In fact, it came to my mind, I didn't look the scripture up, but it's in one of Paul's letters to Timothy, where he said, until I come, give attention to the reading of the word. Until I come, Pastor Timothy, give attention to the reading of the word. Now, the preaching of the word is important too, because he refers to that. You know, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, so on and so forth. But there is great significance just in reading the word. Now, since I might be called a preacher, typically I would have a desire to preach. And when you go home today, somebody may ask you, well, what did the preacher preach on today? You can say he didn't preach. But we heard the word. The power is in the word, not in the clever expressions of the revelation of the word. So listen for the word. Don't listen for the skill of the preacher. Whether it be me or anybody else, it's the message that's important, not the messenger. Okay? And the third thing he said was, I want the attention of the people on my word to search the scriptures and know me. I want the attention of the people on my word to search the scriptures and know me. It doesn't matter whether you know me or not. But it is important that we know him. And he and his word are one. And apparently it is possible for those of us who preach and teach the word to obscure the living word when we bring the teaching from the written word. Does that make sense? And so anyway, with that in mind, we will proceed to Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. This is a psalm of David. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed or disgraced or disappointed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. We all have enemies. Let them not gain victory. Yea, verse 3, let none that wait on thee be ashamed or disappointed or disgraced. Instead, let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy paths, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways, I'm sorry. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. For they have been ever of old, reminding the Lord. Remember not, this is a verse I think we could all identify with, remember not the sins of my youth or my yesterday, nor my transgressions, but rather according to thy mercy,
Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. In other words, think on me according to your character, not in accordance with my performance. Good and upright is the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, will he teach sinners in the way, whether they will listen. It's not true with those who don't love the Lord. All his paths are not mercy and truth to those who hate him. They are onerous. But to those who love him, keep his covenant and his testimonies, all of the paths that he leads us in are mercy and truth. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The Lord will teach us. If we love him and reverence him, he will guide us. His soul shall dwell at ease. Peace be unto you. And his seed shall inherit the earth, his descendants. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his... Oh boy. I'll read that one again. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, that love him, reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. In other words, reveal to us his will for us. Mine eyes, every time you see the word covenant, substitute the word will. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed because of all of these enemies. Let me not be disgraced. For I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Let that be my defense against my enemies. For I wait on thee. You are my defender. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Amen. I don't know if that does anything for you, but it does something for me. So, would you like to stand with me, please, and leave open your Bible to Psalm 25. And for some of us, let's learn a new song. Psalm 25. It's all right, you can stand now. Now, verse 2 is the chorus. Verse 1 is the verse. And then there are some other verses. So let's start with verses 1 and 2, okay? Verse and chorus. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. All right, then the first half of verse 3 is the next verse. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Now the chorus. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Then verse 4.
Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me.
Verse 7.
Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me.
Verse 1.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me.
That is the first scripture song I ever heard. And I heard it while I was a Presbyterian. Presbyterians don't sing scripture songs, or didn't, you know, in the 37 years I was one. And we had in our local Presbyterian church a choir, a chorus, from a South Carolina Baptist children's home come to sing at a family night supper or something that we had. And I'd never heard scripture songs sung. And this group of children, maybe 25 of them or so, sang that song a cappella, Unto Thee, O Lord. I've never forgotten that. And I fell in love with scripture songs that night, and still love them. And this would be one of my favorites. All right, send us out of this place, Lord, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the love and the joy of the Lord, and trusting always in Thee. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.